Hello, Slingers. Welcome to another Word Slinger podcast. Now, what is an otter of creativity? We're going to find out in this interview with Cameron Sutter, founder and CEO of Plotter. So stick around.
It's the Word Slinger podcast, where story matters. Build your brand, write your book, redefine who you are. It's all about the story here. What's yours? Now, here's the guy who invented pants optional, Kevin Tomlinson, the Word Slinger.
Word Slinger.
This segment of the Word Slinger podcast is being brought to you by me. Now, if you'd like to support me and my work, this podcast, whatever else I'm doing, you can do that best by going and buying one of my books or a whole bunch of my books. Go to kevintomlinson.com/books, where you'll find an entire library of things waiting for you to discover. Go find your next new favorite read, and you'll be helping me out, which means I can continue to help you out. Well, I am Kevin Tomlinson, the Word Slinger. Thanks for tuning in. I am looking forward to this chat. I've already had this chat with Cameron Sutter. I'm looking forward to hearing your reaction to this interview with Cameron. One of the things that I really love about this guy, I mean, he's a good soul. He's somebody that I really enjoy spending time with. We've been to a couple of conferences together. He was instrumental in some of the decisions and shifts and changes that I made in my career not too long ago, not even a full year ago. The story that, I mean, we share the story in the interview, so I'm not going to spoil things for you, but I will say that, you know, I'm a big believer in God, and I am a devout Christian, but I also believe in sort of the powers of like synchronicity and law of attraction and things like that. Things that sound a little woo until you actually start experiencing them directly in your life. There was a huge synchronicity that happened with me and Cameron Sutter. It just came at a time when things were a little rough for me, and I was thinking about making a pivot, making a change. I was, you know, falling behind on the kind of thing that I wanted to do with my life. My dream seemed a little stagnant and stale. It seemed like I just lost passion for a while there. And, you know, I'm standing at this conference in Oklahoma City, and Cameron is directly next to me. And, you know, we'd met before, we'd chatted before. He tells the story of, you know, I gave them the idea for the Plotter Otter, which I'm going to count as one of the best things I ever contributed to in my life. One of the best. But there was a conversation there that happened over a couple of days that led to more conversations, more changes, more decisions. Some of those decisions didn't go in the direction I thought they would, but some took me in directions that I always wanted to go, but was kind of afraid to go. Isn't that interesting how one conversation can kind of change everything for you? So I guess the lesson here, what I want you to learn before we go into this interview, what I want you to keep in mind is how all these little connections we make with people, these conversations we have, they can impact our lives and the lives of the people we're interacting with in profound ways that we can't even calculate. So there you go. If you get nothing else out of this episode of the Word Slinger podcast, I hope you take that with you. For now, though, we're going to jump into this interview with Cameron Sutter. And please stick around afterwards. I've got an Ask Kevin Anything. I love getting those. So stick around for that. And I'll see you on the other side of this interview. I'm thrilled, man. I'm always thrilled to be chatting with my good friend, Cameron Sutter, who is, in a lot of ways, has been an instrumental part in you getting the Word Slinger podcast back, and he probably doesn't even realize that.
That's an exaggeration.
It's not much of an exaggeration. And we're going to talk about a lot of things, but let's introduce Cameron. Cameron Sutter is he's a founder of Plotter. He's the CEO of Plotter. Is that
your role? That's the title, even though in such a small company, it sounds weird to say CEO, but yeah,
sure. I think it's fine. We're all CEOs. I'm CEO of Kevin Tomes and Books Incorporated or whatever. Plotter, if you're not aware, wow, shock. I'm shocked. But Plotter is a software that helps you with plotting and organizing your book. It's got a lot of other uses too, though. Like I use it for weird little things.
But, really?
Yeah.
That'd be fun to talk about.
Because it's a visual, it's a very visual layout kind of thing where I can, and it works well. And I think if I were to introduce it to Kara, she would like it too. I should introduce it to her. I don't plot my books. I don't do that. So it's not something that I use for that purpose all the time. I've tried it. You know, man, let's talk about plotting books for a second because I don't know why. Even with this magic tool that I really enjoy, which is Plotter, without an E, Plotter, I just can't seem to get into the groove of plotting. Like it just sucks all the energy out of the book for me.
Well, for some people, like writing the book is the part that they enjoy. Like that's how they discover the story. And to plot it out beforehand feels like you already know the story. And so why do I keep going? So yeah. I don't know. Are you more of a pantser, right?
I'm a pantser. I'm a discovery writer.
Yeah.
Right. Like I don't know any ever. What it is I'm going to be writing when I sit down to write. And I write every day. And at this point, millions and millions of words in my career. I mean, heck, this week alone, I've already put like probably 200,000 or 300,000 words down.
That's impressive, man.
In one form or another.
Yeah.
Some of that's gone into the book. Not as much of that has gone into the book as
sure. Sure. Well, I found I'm not much of a plotter either. And I'm more like I plot a few chapters ahead of where I am. Like sometimes I'll know kind of where the end I want to end up. Depends on how I got the idea for the story. But a lot of times it's just plot as you go. And as far as I see in the story, like my vision, it kind of works like, I don't know, if you're, well, you're Christian, you'll understand this, where you see like a few steps ahead of you. A lot of times that's a metaphor that's used in the church.
Yeah.
You see a few steps ahead of you. That's how I feel like I am with stories too. Like I see a few steps ahead of me, but that's it. So I don't plot it out.
Do you sort of plot as you go then? Like you, cause you do plot, you do actually outline.
Yeah. And it depends. It depends on what else I've got going on with me. Like if I got time to sit in an airplane because I'm traveling to plot it out, I'll probably plot it out. But if I'm just like in normal routine of life, I can't plot it out as much. I just kind of go for it. Yeah, it really depends. I'm really inconsistent, which is frustrating to myself. But
but it's there. But that's the point of tools like this, though. It's like I don't write everything I write in Scrivener, even though I own that tool, you know, like there's things that and I don't write everything in Word either. Like it's whatever the tool is for the moment. That's what I try to do. Yeah.
Gotcha.
There's a quote, by the way, that resonates with what you were saying. And I can't remember who said it. It may have been Martin Luther King Jr., I think, that said, you don't have to know the whole journey. You just have to see the next. You don't have to see the whole staircase. You just have to see the next step.
Huh.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that goes along well with what I do.
Well, and he's a reverend, so you know.
Well, there we go. Yeah. I usually don't see the whole staircase. It's just one step at a time, but it depends. Sometimes like the inspiration for the story is that last moment, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'll know that I'm going there at least, but I don't know how I'm going to get there.
I'll tell you a way. I haven't tried this yet, so I'm not advocating this as something I've done, but this is an idea that occurs to me is a lot of times I don't know where to put the idea I have for later in the book. So In other words, like I've written chapters 1 through 5. I have an idea that I think would be good, later in the book, but I'm not ready to write that scene yet. I want to get a little further along. So I could see using Plotter as a sort of notes as I go outline kind of thing. Things I'm going to come back to. I want to make sure I include that scene. Yeah.
That's kind of how I use it. When I do see something further down the road, I just put it somewhere, like somewhere on the timeline. And then as I know where it's going to go, I can always drag and drop and rearrange things, but just so that I have it written down, because otherwise I'll forget.
Yeah. Writing things down is my, I use Apple Notes for everything. This is the frustration of my life. This is, I posted about this on Facebook. There is no possible chance of me escaping the gravity of Apple. Like if Apple were to go away and take their apps away tomorrow, I would cease to function. I would just implode.
Yeah. No, I'm the same way. I use Apple Maps or Apple Notes for just about everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've tried other things. I've tried to get away. Yeah. I've even exported everything into a new tool. And I just find myself coming back to Apple Notes. Oh, I need a quick little note here. Oh, I could have used the other one. Well, this was just easier.
Early in my life, my sort of digital career, it was Evernote. All things were Evernote. And then, I remember I was using Evernote to actually write a book because I thought, what a cool, maybe I can get Evernote's attention. Because at the time they were hot,
Yeah.
And then I don't know, Nick Thacker, actually, he's the one who always talks me in and out of trouble, frankly, in my career. But he's like, why would you pay? I stopped paying for Evernote. Why would I pay for that? Because Apple Notes free and it has all these other features. And he was right. And I switched everything over to Apple Note. And it was ugly because I did the whole export and import thing. And I think I lost 2/3 of my notes doing that. But yeah, I have this one Apple Note for my Dan Kotler books. That's, it's probably the length of a small novel at this point, because but the way I do it is I keep a bullet list of characters with key notes about that character per book. And then I'll have a note for the setting, a little bit. It's all in one big note though. So if that ever gets corrupted or something, I'm in trouble.
Done.
Yeah, I'm done. The whole catalog, the whole thing's gone.
So this kind of plays nicely into an idea that we have for our next mobile app.
Ooh.
And we just announced actually yesterday in an email to our email list that we're changing our strategy for our mobile app. And it was always intended to be quickly capture your ideas on the go.
Yeah.
Not intended to be the full Plotter experience. But we kind of fell into the trap of listening to people and just they wanted this feature. They wanted this feature. Okay. And we started trying to catch up to the desktop version in the mobile, especially on iPad. iPad was, it had the full screen. It was easier to see the Plotter timeline. So we were trying to always catch up. And we realized this is not, we need 3 more developers.
Yeah.
And it's just really expensive and it would take a long time. And it's not really what we're going for. And I don't know if we always want to play catch up. And so we said, let's slow down on that. We're going to actually stop development on that. And we've got a new idea that we're going to be bringing sometime down the road. I don't know. But it's all about quickly capturing your ideas. And I've actually got a little prototype that I made that I was showing in a conference. I don't know if this is going to turn out pretty bad. But this is a little phone prototype that I made. And I don't know. Can you see that at all?
Yeah. But every time I talk, the camera switches back to me. So
the idea is it's got 4 big buttons on it.
Yeah.
One is for text, if you want to type out a note. Another one is audio, if you want to say a note. Another one is for a photo or video, if you want to take a picture or video. And then the last one, I just needed a 4th spot. So that could be replaced maybe by like a QR code scanner or something like that. But I had it as AI. Mm-hmm. It could just be like you're sitting on the couch and watching a show and you're like, oh, I want to play around with generating some fun AI characters or a setting. I don't know.
That'd be fun. I would do that. I would use that. Not that, you know, you should listen to your people anymore, I would use that. I use something like that now on like ChatGPT. I would just kind of kick around like, you know what I use ChatGPT for more than anything is I do bounce ideas off of it, but it's kind of like the esoteric, like way out there ideas I might have about like,
oh yeah,
questions about what the soul might be, you know, things like that. Like, hey,
yeah.
I want to see its response to the very heady, deep, rich, you know, philosophical topics.
That's interesting. What does it say?
You'd be surprised. Now, here's what I've discovered about AI is it's a yes man and kind of a kiss ass. And so it's like, you know, if I say, what if time was, is a, you know, I'm just going to make something up on the fly here. So time is a cycle. But the reason we, or our understanding of it is actually something we're seeing from the outside, but we think we're inside. Because I had this whole argument, by the way, today on Twitter, not an argument, but someone posted that time is an illusion and they gave all these reasons and they gave some very well documented like philosophical positions on it. But I was pointing out that time is real because if you can measure it and you can change it in some way, impact it in some way, which we know we can do through like relativity, then it has to be real. If it's measurable, if it can be manipulated, then
that's true. That's a really good point. Yeah. Very good point.
So not to get off on that as a tangent, but you know, I'd throw something like that at ChatGPT and it'd be like, that's an excellent idea, Kevin, you know, and it would go through this whole, give me like five bullets of, you know, why I'm a genius for having thought of that. Like, so it's good for my ego.
I've heard that from other people that it's just a yes man. It wants to please you. It's like a puppy dog. That's what somebody,
it's a little bit like a puppy dog.
It's like a puppy dog. It wants to please you, which sometimes is good, but when you want it to be creative, that's not valuable.
I treat it like I call it a dumb writer's room. So like if I was running a writer's room on a television show or something like that, I would pitch an idea or I would ask them to pitch me ideas and then we would workshop those ideas back and forth. And ChatGPT, all the AIs I've encountered so far are pretty decent at that. Like they're terrible at the ideas. Like it's just going to recycle the same ideas and tropes because it's a learning language model. It's not actual intelligence. Like it's just
right.
Yeah. Using logic to repeat back to you a series of, you know, connected ideas, but what it can't do is connect disparate ideas, you know? And so that's up to me. So what's been challenging and fun for me is to take AI as a tool to stretch my ability to connect ideas, which I've always been very good at, is why I became a writer in the first place. Like taking that bad idea and that bad idea, mashing them together.
Making a third bad idea.
Make it a third bad idea. That's some saleability. So it's interesting that you're thinking of incorporating AI. Well, in what way are you thinking of incorporating AI into Plotter?
Well, so before I answer that, I was going to say another thing that AI is bad at is coming up with names, like random names.
Yeah.
Because like you said, it doesn't connect disparate ideas.
Right.
It uses the same names over and over. There's like Luna is one of the most popular ones that we found. There's always a Luna. No matter what genre, there's always a Luna.
Yeah.
And so we're...
Luna Moonshot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we're actually trying to find a way around that, because the way that we're thinking of using AI for Plotter is about giving you ideas when you're stuck. And so you can say, you know, I want an idea for a supporting character in my book. Mm-hmm. And Plotter puts in all the context of what my book means you know, and it sends it to ChatGPT, and it'll give you five random character ideas that fit within your book's world. Hopefully, I mean, that's the idea. And all you have to do is click a button, and then, and so, yeah, it gives you like five character ideas with like backstory and stuff like that. But, the names has been hard. So we've got a clever way around that. That's going to be kind of our secret sauce, but we have a better way of generating random names, I think.
Okay.
Than ChatGPT. And so same idea for like scenes and places. Like, give me five scene ideas that'll fit within my story. And then you can choose from them. That's one thing that's important for us, like giving you ideas and choices, but not taking over for you, not saying, here is the idea, run with this. Like, here's some ideas, use your creativity and choose from them.
Yeah.
And then also giving I call them the dials of creativity, giving access to the dials, because the ChatGPT, for people that don't know, there's like actually behind the scenes, there's little dials that they can dial in, not physical ones that like somebody's turning every time you make a request, but different parameters that you can change, like make it more obedient or less obedient to my prompt. Mm. And so we're giving access to those dials, I call them the dials of creativity, so that writers have more power, more control over that. So that's where our head is at.
Are you worried at all about, you know, it's really interesting to hear writers talk about AI because there are only two camps, and that is such a rarity in life, that there are only two camps. And I mean, I say that, and then I happen to be kind of a centrist, as in most things in life, politics and otherwise. So I see AI as a great tool. I use AI as a tool. I don't use it to write my books, but only because that's the part that I love. So I'm not going to use AI to do the part that I love. I'm going to use AI to do the parts I hate.
Yes.
But yeah. Are you hearing any backlash from authors worried about you integrating AI?
Oh yeah. So 2 or 3 weeks ago, we announced that we're building some AI features. Mm-hmm. And man, it's a vocal minority for sure. It's not a lot of people, but they're very vocal, very hateful, honestly, very scared and angry. And I get it. Like, I see both sides very well. I'm a centrist like you. I feel like I'm in the third camp that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But there are two, definitely. And I understand their fears. Like, if this is Elon Musk is saying there's going to be an AI that's smarter than any human by next year, you know, if we were not afraid of that, I think you're ridiculous. I think you're being blind if you're not afraid of that. But that doesn't mean you have to run into a panic and start burning down any company that says they're going to use AI also, because you're already using it, whether you know it or not. It's in Amazon, it's in Google, it's in everything you're using already has that.
Yeah.
So we knew this was going to happen. We knew we'd get backlash. We took it in stride. We tried to, at least, you know, our motto in our community is kind and supportive.
Yeah.
And so we'll engage with people. We're okay with disputing and disagreeing and saying, what about this side? What do you think of this? You know, we're thinking of doing this. What do you think of that? And that's just not factual. Here's the facts, you know, as long as people are respectful. But yeah, there were some people that got heated for sure.
Yeah.
Said some bad words.
Yeah. I remember this was like a year, more than a year ago. I was still at DDD. Actually, it was probably closer to almost 2 years ago. Like, we sent out this teaser email that said, hey, we're going to make a huge announcement. We got a huge announcement coming up on the 15th or whatever. And I think at the time we were going to announce that we were making the Smashwords store available to people or something, you know, or is something that was a logical fit for us, but was kind of benign, you know. It wasn't going to be too earth shaking, but it was a bit, it was still big. And the number of people who wrote it, we had people who responded to that email saying, cussing at us for, cause they were absolutely certain it was going to be, we were going to introduce AI. And, that hit social media. On social media, it became a thing, such a thing that we literally had people canceling their accounts because they were convinced we were going to release AI.
Wow. Before you even said it was AI, people were canceling.
Before we ever said it was AI. But that shows you how reactive that this community can be.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was going to say, I don't want that to sound like a criticism, but frankly, folks, that's a criticism of our community. Like, we are way too reactive and we are way too quick to light the torches and go, you know, storm the castle over things.
Well, it shows passion, you know, if you want to see it in
what
a good
we
light,
are.
They're passionate and they're passionate about you enough that it would hurt so much to leave you. We've had one confirmed person leave us because we announced AI. Other people threatened, but I don't know if they have yet. But I don't know. So actually, Nick Thacker and I were talking, we were at a conference last weekend and we were talking about a way to get at those ethical concerns from people.
Yeah.
And, I hope he's not going to be mad that I share this because, even if it is a public thing, I don't think anybody's going to do this. And if anybody does want to take this idea, come talk to Nick Thacker and I first. Cause we'll work together instead of being competition. But, an idea that we came up with that we both kind of had separately and we realized it and started talking about it was that if there were, an LLM that was trained off of authors' works that got paid for it.
Yeah.
They were paid to put their books in there and it was only trained on the authors that were paid to be in there.
Yeah.
I think it would be one, a more pure data set, and two, there wouldn't be ethical concerns of it stealing anybody's work. The authors would be paid, it wasn't stolen, and it would be more targeted for what we're actually using it for. What's your idea on that? Or what's your thought on that?
I've heard someone say they were going to do that actually already. I think there was news story. Yeah. And I think it may have been the folks behind ChatGPT. Who were offering to do, of course, the big nod and wink from everybody was, well, sure, they're willing to offer that now because, you know, they've already stolen everything, which I don't feel like that's stealing, but that's a conversation for a whole other day.
Well, the courts have already ruled that it's fair use. And
it's
so
fair use, right.
People might not agree with that, and that's okay. You don't have to agree, but that's what the law of the land has said so far.
That's what it is. Yeah. Yeah. I have my own take on that, and it's, you know, maybe it's controversial, but here's what I think. Here's what I think. I think that's a brilliant idea, and I think that in this community, we have a real opportunity for that to be, for that would be like earth-shaking in this community, in our industry. It would be, you'd have a lot of authors who just would protest that and walk out and stomp their feet anyway. And you have a lot of authors who would get that this is, we could actually craft something that aids our community specifically, sort of in the way that like, you know, like Plotter, you know, and Plotter has applications, broad applications beyond the indie author world. Draft to Digital was like this, you know, like there's implications of this technology beyond the immediate market for it. But, look at how these, you know, these both started specialized, aimed at a specialized market, and look at how they've impacted that. So I think it's a good idea. I hate giving Nick credit for things. So
Nick, just kidding.
Actually, he hasn't heard this interview yet. So what I'm going to do is pop over into Facebook Messenger. Me and him and Ernie Dempsey have like a little mastermind group in there, and I'm just gonna say, hey, I'm gonna do this. I'm just gonna frame it like I came up with it.
That's a great idea that you came up.
See what he comes. See what he says. Look, there will be gnashing of teeth.
You'll have to tell me what his reaction is. That'd be funny.
Here's what I think. I know what I would want from that, and I would participate in that. I would even consider foregoing being paid for anything if what I could do is feed in all of my work and use it to generate things that benefit me, such as I want a wiki of all my books and characters. I want it to understand the tone and style of my books so that it can help me with editing and maybe suggesting things and, you know, helping me craft new outlines for new ideas. I don't want it to write my books, but I want it to augment my books and supplement and also help me with generating like art, you know, like cover art. Cause I use Midjourney now for my covers. And I do I basically use it to create stock images that I manipulate in Photoshop and make my own. Right. And so it would be really great if I had a tool that could read the book and suggest 4 images that might work for the cover.
Yeah. You know? That's a cool idea. That's a very cool idea.
So yeah, I'm behind you. I want to loop back around because I had said that you were in part responsible for the reemergence of Wordslinger podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I want to talk about that because what happened was you and I were at a conference and I'm gonna spill a little tea here, but I'm
go for it.
All right. So you and I were at a conference in Oklahoma City. We had 2 tables. I was representing D2D, you were representing Plotter, and they were right next to each other. Yep. And you and I had a great conversation over like 3 days about things. I let you know like that I was coming to a kind of place of unrest and wanting to sort of branch out, do something else, do something more. Yeah. And you were a big influence on that happening. I won't go into too many details. And I know everybody out there is like, yeah, we want to hear this story. maybe some other time. But there was nothing negative in any way that happened. Nothing that I feel all that negative about anyway. There were some ups and downs over the next like 6 months. But because of that whole experience, like I'm back to being full-time as a writer again, I'm back to doing the podcast again. So I've always held a special place for you in my heart, Cameron. You've always been part of the internal Kevin team.
Oh, thank you. Well, I mean, since that conference years ago, when you came up with the Plotter Otter, I've always felt like, it has been my goal to get you working more on Plotter, but we'll see how that goes someday. But I love working with you too. And you actually helped me in a lot of ways in that conference too, to realize what I want moving forward. And so this year, a lot of the changes we're making with Plotter are because of that conversation, and not just that, but other things that have been happening. And so I'm really looking forward to this year. It's exciting.
Yeah, me too, man. It's been an interesting year already. I mean, we're already in April.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I don't do my taxes until the absolute last minute. So I did my taxes. We're recording this on April 16th, and I did my taxes yesterday. So.
Yeah, I think the tax day got pushed back to the 18th. At least I'm hoping, because my accountant hasn't said that they finalized it yet. So I'm waiting to.
Did it really? How come I didn't hear about that?
It did a couple years ago, and I don't know if it's a yearly thing or it's just that year. So so I'm not sure, but I'm hoping so, because I'm in the same boat. I usually drag my feet, and they're not quite done yet.
That's because our taxes are complicated, man.
Run your own business. And
You know, you've got, this is the conversation. Like, I used to do my mom's taxes for her, and I guess she got tired of waiting on me because I would always wait. You know, cause she'd get all of her stuff in like February, and she'd nag me all the way until I finally did it. And I'm like, I'm hardwired to wait because there's always something that didn't get sent on time or for me. For her, she's got like three forms, you know, like,
yeah,
she's retired now. So, I mean, she gets like her investment portfolio sends or something and, you know, things like that. But you know, there's her taxes take me 10 minutes to do. I mean, it's nothing. and so I don't bother with that now because I think she got tired of waiting. So she goes and, you know, has an account. Yeah, she's got like a CPA that does it. She goes like H&R Block or something. She's one of those that could do that. I could never do that. It would cost me more than I would save time. Because, yeah, you're right. Because we've got a business. I'm an author. So, you know, authors, that's a business, right? Yep. I mean, that's, people don't often want to think of it that way, but that's what it is. Now, with Kara kind of going into doing her own sort of independent contractor kind of thing, it's going to get even more complicated. So we need to do the responsible adult business owner thing and start doing our taxes quarterly and, you know, making sure we're taking care of everything.
someday we'll be responsible.
We'll get there. We'll get there. We're working on it.
Yeah.
Taxes. Hate taxes. So
yeah. How do we get talking about taxes? How do we get talking about taxes?
Like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure I was leading into something. Sure I was. Because that's my marker for the first quarter of the year is we've got, you know, I guess that's more like the first third of the year, but that's my marker. And it seemed like I just woke up to the new year like yesterday, and that's already April 16th. So, well, man, our conversations always go by really fast. This one we need to wrap up already. But before we do, I mean, are you writing? Are you still writing?
Yeah, slowly, but I am. Yeah. I've got. I'm assuming you want me to kind of say what I'm writing.
If you feel comfortable, yeah, go ahead. You don't have to.
I want some proof out there that I am writing, and some maybe outside, some external pressure on me to keep writing. But yeah, I'm working on this Christian paranormal sci-fi story. At least that's how I'm terming it in my mind. And I had this experience writing it. I was kind of stuck for a little while, and I was trying to figure it out in Plotter, and then the idea struck me, let's use a template in Plotter. And this is going to sound like a commercial for it, but for me, it was like a really facepalm moment, because that should not have been after a couple of days of being stuck. I should have realized that like after a minute of being stuck, or I should have done it before being stuck. But after a couple of days of being stuck, I'm like, oh yeah, let's try this. And then within the next hour, I was already unstuck. So
yeah. That's not a problem. That's not
Am I the creator having this experience?
That's because we always approach every problem with the tool we're used to using first. Yeah. And you may have invented this very cool, you know, hammer, but that's not the hammer you're used to using yet. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah.
But see, that's a good testimonial though. Now you can kind of you can sort of follow yourself in doing that. Why don't you should keep a developmental diary.
Yeah, there we go. That's a good idea. That's a really good idea.
Yeah. That would be because it would be encouraging to someone like me. Like, because I've got that, I bought like a lifetime, you know, package for it and everything. And, I use it, but I don't probably use it as much as I could or should. But like seeing someone else come along, especially you know, you're the perfect guinea pig for this, because it's sort of people respond to authenticity, and you know, they want something real. They want to know that the brand they're interacting with, that there's a human being behind it.
Yeah, exactly.
What better way to show, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. especially today with AI and stuff, it, being human and being authentic is more important than ever. So that's actually a good idea.
Yeah. Do it. Record little video things.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
I just did this. I just thought of this. Yeah, do it. And you can edit all that together and have a nice little video at the end. So
yeah,
there you go. Ideas. All right.
Another Kevin Tomlinson idea.
I swear I'm useful. I swear to the world out there. If you need help, I'm here.
You have so many gems. We've gotten so many gems from you over the years. So of course you have value.
I got value. I got to figure out how to start monetizing these things, man.
Yeah.
Because it's something I'm very fond of is eating. I like to eat. Having food.
Surviving.
And a roof over my head. Anyway. All right, man. Good having you on. You were one of the first people I thought of when I knew I wanted to bring this back and get interviews going. So I'm glad we had a chance to talk.
Yeah. That we finally did.
Yeah. All right. And we'll talk again. And for everyone else out there, where should they go? You don't have your little diary of what you're doing yet, but that will come. But where should people go to find out about Plotter?
So you can go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/plotterapp.
And Plotter is spelled PLOTTR, not P.
Also on YouTube, I do a live video every other week. So youtube.com/plotter, and you can find us there. And our website, plotter.com, PLOTTR.com.
Excellent, man. Where you can you might be able to get a plotter otter. And if you go to a conference with Cameron, he's likely to be wearing a plotter suit.
Yes. And yeah, you might win one. We give them away at conferences.
Do you really? Oh man.
Yeah. Yeah. And soon you'll be able to buy plotter merchandise. So that is in the works.
Excellent. Plotter That's otter. Good news. That's okay. Good news. Plotter otter suits and merchandise. I'm looking forward to it, man. All right. All right. Well, that's going to wrap us up for this one, man. Everybody, thank you. First of all, thank you, Cameron, for being on the show, man.
Thanks for bringing me.
Always good to chat with you. For everyone else, thank you for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed this interview. Make sure you stick around. It's very likely I'm going to be saying something after this, so stick around for that, and we'll see you on the other side. Well, that was Cameron Sutter, my good friend, ally and colleague in this world of publishing. Plotter is an interesting piece of software. I use it for a variety of things now. I haven't used it as much lately, but I do kind of go back to it. And I love that Cameron and his team are making improvements to it as they go. It's just what I like about Plotter and the company, not just the software, but... You know, it's the same sort of thing I really love about Draft to Digital. When I was at D2D, one of the things that made me feel privileged and honored to be a part of that team was the fact that it had a dedication to this writing community. You know, there is always going to be this element of, you know, we have to make a profit in what we do. But I think that there's sort of an awakening happening in the industry, in the world, that is sort of oriented around this idea that if you put the community first, if you put the sort of needs and desires and the dreams and goals of these people you serve first, if you approach this as service, you transcend being simply a business and you become something greater. And I really feel like Plotter has that going for it. I think it's growing into that. Very impressed by Cameron, by what they're doing at that business, by the ethic that they have. It's exciting to see things kind of evolving. So if you haven't tried out Plotter, go to plotter.com. We mentioned it in the interview. Give it a shot. I think you can try it for free. I'm not entirely certain. I went in and just paid for a full lifetime membership, but there's some things you know, in the works there that I think are really impressive. I'm going to be watching the company closely, and can't wait to see where they go. All right, so now let's jump into today's Ask Kevin Anything. And I want to remind you, this is an open call for any question you want to ask. And I'm serious, any question. I've had mostly questions about marketing and writing on the show so far. But I'm open to anything. And I mean this. And here's the point of Ask Kevin Anything, a.k.a. Ask Kevin Anything. The point of this is to stretch me a little in service of you. So if writing and publishing and marketing are things you want to know about, I am on board and I'll help you. I will answer questions as I can. But even if you just are curious about some odd bit of history, about quantum physics, about, I don't know, relationships, or, you know, whatever question is burning in your soul right now, ask me. Finances, real estate, you know. And here's the thing. It's not that I'm an expert on these things. It's that as a writer, one of the things that I do frequently for my books is I dive in to find some thing that I can hold on to, some nugget of truth or some reality in this bit of information I'm learning. That I can use to improve myself, shape my life, shape my work. So that's what you're helping me with while I am hopefully helping you with an answer to your question. So ask Kevin Anything. You can do that in the comments of the YouTube channel if you want. Unfortunately, I don't really ever see comments and questions and things that pop up in the various podcast apps. So I'm sorry about that, guys. It's just proven too unwieldy for me to try to monitor all of that. But if you find me on YouTube, you can definitely leave comments there. You can also, this is probably the best and easiest way, just go to kevintomlinson.com/contact and you can find me there, find out about all my work and everything on that site. But you can send me an email with your question and I'll try to answer every question I get on the air. So far, I haven't really gotten a ton. Maybe you're not interested in this. Maybe I'm just shouting into the wind right now. But it's a feature I really dig, and I'm hoping it catches on. So yeah, please feel free, pop on over. I know how inconvenient it is to switch from, like, if you're listening to this podcast while you're driving or something. But you know, later if you think about it. Quick announcements, by the way. I have a new book coming out called The Forgotten Rune. It's coming out on May 15th, 2024, depending on when you're watching or listening to this. I hope that you will find that book online. If you go to bit.ly/forgottenruneaz, that will take you to the Amazon sales page. I should probably put the books to read link make that more prominent so you can buy it everywhere. But if you go to my website, if you go to kevintomlinson.com/books, you'll find a little ad for it there. And you can find the book if time has passed and it's no longer the new book and is just part of my catalog, scroll down. You can find it in the list of Dan Kotler books, plus all those other books. So go check that out. That said, I did a video, by the way. It's called Who is Dan Kotler? Maybe if I remember, I'll include it as a link here on the video. If I remember, if you're watching on YouTube, but I will put a link to it in the show notes. All right. This is from Randy Batten. He left it as a comment on the YouTube channel. So if you're watching, this is popping up right now, but Randy says, question for the show. I'm a long way from getting a usable mailing list together, but we'll be coming out with a second book soon. How do you approach your second book release and what suggestions might you have? This is a great question because most people are, you know, they're mostly concerned with that first book release. You know, people don't necessarily think about, like, is there a strategy for book two? First of all, Randy, one thing I highly recommend is make sure that in the back of that book, as the reader finishes reading it, make sure, one, always have a way for people to join you on a mailing list. Whatever method you use, I'm going to recommend authoremail.com because I'm a co-founder of that. But, you know, one thing you can use is Substack, which can help you with building a list. There's a lot of ways to do that. MailChimp is another, but and MailerLite. But these, after a certain level, you end up having fees and things. But whatever. I mean, you know, things are worth paying for. However, with the second book release, make sure also in the back of that book that you have a list to where people can find out more about you and your work. So a website is just mandatory at this point. You can mention the first book because maybe they, unless this is a series that's heavily dependent on them reading that first book, they may have come to it without finding that first book. So make sure you have a little blurb, you know, a screenshot or a cover shot of your book, the first book in there. That's, you know, you can do that, by the way, with an also buy page, you know, books also by Randy. You know, I like to put that right at the end, right as they're finishing up. I also do something else in my books called a note at the end, which is like an afterword, that my readers seem to really enjoy, but this follows straight on from that. I also put a little page at the end of each of my books that says, here's three ways you can help me succeed as an author. And though that's where I put things like join my mailing list, and then I give a link, and then I'll tell them, you know, get a free book when you join this mailing list. You know, review the book. Please post a review of this book on Amazon and elsewhere because it really helps me out. And I think the other is to share. Yes, it is. To share this book and my work with as many people as you can think of to share it with. So ask those three sort of favors of your reader at the end of the book, and you're going to probably do pretty well. Even if you don't do the rest of the things I suggested, like even if, I mean, you should have a mailing list and you should have a website, but even if you don't have an also buy page or something like that in the book, you should have something that asks readers to do these three things. So that's my advice, Randy. I hope that helps you. I hope it helps others who are watching and listening to this. And we're going to move on now. Actually, what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and wrap up because I've noticed I've been making these run a little too long lately, longer than I want. But it's because I enjoy talking to you so much. So thank you for tuning in. I hope that you enjoyed this interview with Cameron Sutter. I hope you enjoy the rest of the program. Whatever insightful things I managed to share, I hope they improve and bless your life. That's my goal for you. So thank you for being a part of this. Do me a favor. Do me several favors, really. One, share this. Make sure you share this this video, this podcast with the people you are connected to in your life. That helps me expand my platform, my circle, so that I can have greater reach. If you want to support me, you can do that best by buying my books. That's the point. That's what I'm trying to do here. And, you know, share that too. So go to kevintomlinson.com/books. That will help you find a new read. You can subscribe, like, share this video, hit the little bell for notifications. All those things are important, and leave a comment on this video because that helps me as well. YouTube sees that as engagement. It's very helpful to me. So all that said, I've said a lot. I really appreciate you. Thank you for being here, and I will see you all in the next episode of the Wordslinger Podcast.
Wordslinger.